Turn in your Bible to Leviticus chapter number 20. Leviticus chapter number 20. Leviticus chapter number 20, verse number 7. The Bible says, "Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." I want to preach just a little while this morning, if God be our help, on what do you expect from the Lord? Amen. What do you expect from the Lord? And I thought about this as I was reading this, and yesterday morning early, God began to speak to my heart on this and give me this title. I didn't have nothing to go with it. Amen. Praise God. But I got to thinking, praise and pondered upon it, and He began to speak to my heart, and I was out from the house. By the time I got back to the house, I had a thought and a direction I think the Lord wants us to go this morning. And I got to thinking about this, you know, what do we expect from the Lord? But who are we? Who are you and I? Amen. We're just human beings, weak vessels at best. The Bible says we're apt to sin. Amen. And we're going to need help. Amen. Praise God. We'll need each other to help each other. And we need the Lord to help us every day. Jesus said, "You can do nothing without me." And I believe that, don't you? How many of you tried? You don't have to raise your hand. tried to do without Him. Amen. And you come up short. As Brother Josh said in Sunday school, you made a mess of it. Amen. Praise God. We thought we were doing okay, but He's like He said, we were blind. Amen. Praise God. And we couldn't see. But Jesus moved the blinders. He took the blinders off and helped us to see. And we realized that there was a God of heaven who was real. And He could really do real things. Amen. He's not made up. He's not make-believe. He's real. As we talked last week, we talked about Jesus. He died on the cross. He was buried. Third day, He got up. He arose. He got up. Amen. Victorious over death and the grave. And not only did He get up, but He was Saul of 500 at one time. Amen. After a resurrection, He was saw by the disciples. And last of all, Paul said, I saw Him myself. Amen. Praise God. So we know that Jesus, you know, they've never even tried to disprove that Jesus rose from the dead and ascended up in glory, praise God, because it happened. And so many people saw it that it's true. We know that it's true, that it really happened. But who are we? We're just vessels that's apt to sin, come up short every day. But what does God expect of us? I was thinking as I was sitting yesterday morning, what does God expect of us? What does God expect of me? Now see, we can see today, we can come together and we can say, well, you know, if such and such would do this and so would do that, then this would be a whole lot better place. Amen? But what about you and me? What about us? Amen? Where are you at? Where are you standing? The Bible says if you don't stand for something, then you'll fall for anything. Amen? So we got to stand for something. We got to be rooted and grounded in something. And our faith needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ and the God of heaven who loves us and is there to prepare us for the days to come. Amen? So we start seeing that and we start wondering, what does God expect from us? Well, we know the Bible tells us we're supposed to keep His commandments. He said we're supposed to keep His statutes and keep His judgments. That's what's commanded of us. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. But you know why I think, church, I think, you know why we come up short? I don't think we really understand exactly what God expects of us. Because if we knew what God expects of us, we would have a higher expectation of Him. We'd have a higher expectation for Him. Because He's made us, Brother Bill, some exceeding great and precious promises in the Word of God. And if we knew where we were at, where we need to be, then we could hold God to a higher standard. Hello? Because our life would be brought up to where we can't bring God down to where we are. You can forget that. That is not going to happen. I mean, your lifestyle ain't going to change God. But God can change your lifestyle. People all the time saying, well, preacher, you know, it's just the lifestyle. Yeah? And it's sinfulness. Amen. We need to have a lifestyle, praise God, of following the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. So we see this. Now, I just want to look just a few minutes, if God will be of help, on this most important part. And we see how God begins. He said we need to keep His statutes. His statutes, praise God. Now, what are statutes? Let's just have a little Sunday school class this morning, all right? What does God mean when He speaks of statutes? Statutes of God, God's statutes. That's boundaries. Hello? Come on now. That's boundaries. God had, did you know God has boundaries this morning? Amen? God said, hey, you can go this. This is what you do. But you stop short of this. You don't go over there. And said, you don't go over here. God says, I've got boundaries. Without boundaries, you ain't got nothing. Without boundaries and borders, we don't even have a nation. Hello? When you start opening up to everybody to come in with all their different ideas and beliefs, we got a mess. Amen. Praise God. We need to be standing. We were designed and we were built upon a Christian faith. Praise God. And the Lord God of heaven and Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're set up. And if we deter from that, we get away from that. We've lost our borders. We've given away our boundaries. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got to be steadfast in what we believe. So we got to have those boundaries. Praise God. Look over 1 Peter. Peter talks about this in 1 Peter. Chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 15. Look what Peter says. He said, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, now watch this, be ye holy, for I am holy. So God puts some boundaries, some statutes, some borders, if you will. And he said, inside of this borders, he calls you to be holy. Amen? To be holy. So that you be holy in all manner of conversation. Now, that manner of conversation is the way we live. Hello? Now, you can come to church, you can go to church, but praise God, it's how you live outside of church that matters. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's how we do, how we live, how we present ourselves outside the church. It's what matters to God. And he says to be holy. Now it's a statute. It's a borderline that God puts us in, a boundary that God gives us. He said, be ye holy for I am holy. So we see how God lays it out for us and he tells us exactly what we need to do. I'm glad there's no gray area. God knows exactly where the borderlines need to be for him to be able to help us the way he wants to help us. So we see what he tells us in Leviticus 20 here. He said, sanctify yourself, therefore. Now here again, that sanctify means to set yourself apart. Amen? To be sanctified, to sanctify yourself. Now notice here, he didn't say, sanctify your neighbor. Hello? But he said, sanctify yourself, therefore. Amen. He said, set yourself aside, pull yourself apart. Amen. So if we don't come apart, you'll come apart. Amen. But praise God, when you come apart for the Lord Jesus Christ, He holds you together. The Bible says, in Him all things consist. All things are held together by the Lord. We wonder why homes and families and lives are shattered and falling apart. Amen. Because we're not looking to the one and trusting one that can hold it together. It amazes me. Now I'll just run a rabbit here. It amazes me that when we get into tough times and we get into hardships and we get into difficult times, it's funny to me that we want to run away from God. Amen? When we get in difficult times and situations, we ought to run to God. Amen? If you're a child of God, if you've been born again, when sickness comes, when hardships come, when trials come, when adversity hits, praise God, we need to run to God. Amen? It makes a big difference. When 911 helped, when 9/11 happened, the church just filled up with people. They swarmed the churches and they fell in there. Now, I don't know how many fell on their face and began to cry out and repent because it wasn't but a few days later that all the churches emptied out again. And we're seeing in these last days the churches is emptying out. Amen. People's wanting to get out instead of wanting to get in. Amen. In the time of the disciples, the time when they were preaching God, when the Holy Spirit of God fell on the church, people were begging, they were beating on the door to get in. There was a persecution around the world. And they were beating on the door to try to get into the church. They were being persecuted. Amen. Praise God. But what do we do? What do we do? He said, sanctify yourself. To set yourself aside. Amen. What did we say? We set ourselves aside for the glory of God. So that God can use you and me. Right? I'm going to say this morning. There's nobody too young and nobody too old. but use the Lord. Amen. Put yourself out there, praise God. He said, sanctify yourself. Set yourself aside for the glory of God. Now, this is what he tells us. He tells us what to do. Amen. Now, watch this. He said, sanctify yourself, therefore, and be ye holy. Amen. He said, for I am the Lord your God. Praise God. That makes it all better. He said, sanctify yourself. He said, be holy. So that's a statute. That's a boundary we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be inside the boundaries and borders of holiness. Amen. And I know what the flesh does. The flesh says, well, you'll never be holy. Look at you. You old sorry rascal. One you shave every morning, one you curl and you flippy-flop hair. Amen. Praise God. But he said, hey, listen, you. He said, be holy, for I am holy. He said, sanctify yourself. Set yourself aside. He said, because remember who I am. He didn't say, praise God, remember. He said, because of who you are. He said, sanctify yourself, praise God. Be holy because I'm God. Amen. We can be holy because God told us to and because He's God. Praise God. We don't have to succumb to it. We just have to fall within the boundaries, the borders, the lines that God's drawn. Amen. This ain't nothing new. We're reading now the book of Leviticus. You go all the way back over to Genesis. Amen. God began to lay it out. He even laid it out for Isaac. When Isaac, look at Genesis. Let me just show you that. Look at Genesis. Genesis chapter number 26. Genesis chapter number 26, verse number 1. It says, and there was a famine in the land, because the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. Now watch this. And I will bless thee, for unto thee, and unto thy seed, I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply at the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thee all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Praise God. Now watch this. Verse number 5. He said, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws. Praise God. He tells Isaac, he said, the blessings of God's going to come to you because you've stayed in the borders. Amen. You've maintained inside the borders that God has set for me and you. We can't deviate from the borders, the boundaries that God set for us. Praise God. We can't do it. We have to realize that God has set these boundaries, not us. And we have to try to stay with it. What does God expect? We have to ask ourselves, what does God expect from us? What does He expect from me and you? He expects us to live inside of these borders, these boundaries. Amen? We're living in a world today that wants to live outside the boundaries. And they wonder why God can't bless us, why God ain't blessing us. He can't bless you outside the boundaries. Amen? Praise the Lord. He sets these boundaries on purpose. God sets, God sets them for our benefit, for your good. Amen? God knows what you need. God knows what I need. So therefore, He sets these boundaries. Amen? So we ask ourselves, what does God expect of us? Well, what do we expect from the Lord? What do you and I expect from the Lord? He tells us in Ezekiel, He speaks to His people, and He speaks in Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 36, and God begins to lay some things out. He tells us that we know that we can't do nothing within ourselves. We're not sufficient, amen, to do what we need to do. But we know that God's able to do all things because He told us He is. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 21, He said this. He said, but I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for thy sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whether you went. But now watch what he says. He says, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and will get and bring you into your own land. Now notice the eyes here. It's God saying, I will do this. I will take care of this. I will bring you out. I will deliver you. He said, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Now watch this. Watch what he says. He said, and a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Amen. Who does that? God does it. Amen. He can't, praise God. What do we expect of Him? We expect Him to change us from the inside out. Amen. If we don't expect God, when we get saved, born again, expect God to change us from the inside out, praise God, we're messed up somewhere. Because God takes you, He changes your heart. He said, I will put my spirit within you and will cause you to walk in my statutes. Here we go. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. Amen. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in a land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Amen. He says, praise God. He said, what I want to do. He said, there's nothing that we can do. Praise God. We can't be 100% holy within ourselves, by ourselves. But God said, I will clean you. Amen. Praise God. This is the effects, praise God, the effects of what God does in us. He said, I'll clean you, praise God. I'll make you 100% holy. I'll sanctify you, praise God, with the power of mine own hand. And you say something you've got to do all by yourself. We do it when we put our faith and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He took care of that for us. We're trusting not in our righteousness, but in His. Amen. His righteousness before God the Father. He makes the difference. Amen. It was the cross of Christ, praise God, that made the difference. It's the cross of Christ that sanctified us and birthed us into the family of God. Amen. Started us in a process. We're in a process. You're not a finished product yet. Don't beat yourself down because you're not perfect. Hello? But he said we're supposed to strive for perfection. We've got to work at it. Paul said to be diligent. Amen. To stay at it, to work at it. Praise God. Because of what Christ did on the cross. Christ went to the cross of Calvary and he died. And he washed us, praise God, praise God, cleansed us from our sins in his precious blood, that he might restore us unto God the Father, you and I. Amen. Listen, you're in a restoration process. Amen. Praise God. Hey, you're like an old car that's beat up and rusted, praise God, and God just starts taking the old parts off and starts putting new parts on. Amen. Praise God. He don't just try to patch up the old. Amen. Because, if you got an old car that's rusting and getting holes in, if you can sand it down, primer, you can bondo, but it'll come back. Believe me, been there and done that. It'll come back. Praise God. But if you take that old part off, you put a new part in. That's what God said to Ezekiel. He said, I'm going to take some parts out. I'm going to put in some new parts, some good parts that won't rust or decay. Amen. That's what he does, praise God, for us. That's what Christ did on the cross of Calvary, praise the Lord. It was the sacrifice, praise God. It was the price that was paid for me and you. Amen. It was a price that's paid. It was a purchase possession. What was it? It was a purchase of forgiveness. God purchased forgiveness for us on the cross of Calvary. That through him we might be saved. We might be forgiven. Amen. Well, see, we try to make this thing way too hard. It's not as hard as we think. We just believe that Jesus come and he lived. He was 100% God and he was 100% man. Amen. He went through the same trials and temptations that me and you do without sin. So we just trust in him because he is that perfect sinless lamb. We can put our faith and trust in him so that we can be saved. So he paid the price for it. He purchased us and offers us forgiveness. We got to be able to forgive ourselves.
Amen. Forgive ourselves of my sinfulness. Amen. Your sinfulness. Let me ask you a question. I said that just now. And how many, I want you to raise your hand, how many of you had something run through your mind that you done one time when you was younger and you said, oh man, boy, I wish I hadn't done that. I was thinking about that when I was sitting in the study yesterday. I thought, you know, I done something one time so stupid. And I think, well, you know, it's all right because the two people that seen you do it, they're dead now and going on. So they can't tell on you. Amen. But God knows about it. But we all do goofy stuff. Amen. We all do things that we ought to. But God is, He's there to forgive us, and He paid the price of our sins. So we can take them to the foot of Calvary and say, Lord, please forgive me, a sinner. Amen. He covers them, He takes care of them. He offers forgiveness. Not all, He purchased forgiveness. Not only did He purchase forgiveness, but he bought restoration that He might restore us unto the Father. Amen. So what do we expect from the Lord? Praise God. Our position of holiness before Him. We expect it to be secured in the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did on us. See, we're putting our faith in what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. We're putting our faith in the Lord, not in ourselves. Praise God. And He cleanses us from our sins. And He begins to help us, praise God, to help us to walk in the Lord, walk with the Lord. Amen. That would be our desire today, to walk with the Lord. Hey, listen, youngs, don't follow the crowd. The crowd leads you down a road of destruction. The devil will take you down a long road, That road of destruction's broad. Amen. It's easy to fall into it, to stumble into it, to go down it. But praise God, He said that road unto the Lord. He said it's a narrow path, but praise God, He said there's few that find it. Praise God, if you find it, it's a good path. It's a true path. It's a right path. And God Almighty says that He'll help us to walk that direction. He'll help us to go with the Lord. He'll help us to grow in the Lord. Amen. We ought to be growing. Josh said this morning, we ought to be growing in the Lord. In His Word, we ought to be nurturing ourselves, feeding ourselves from the precious Word of truth. Amen. His following in His ways, in His footsteps. What are you saying? I'm going to say we got to keep His statutes. We got to stay in bounds. Amen. Anybody like basketball? I know Miss G likes basketball. She's a big Carolina fan. If Carolina's playing, just get out of the way. Then she said, Preacher, can we not plan that around that? Amen. That's good. But if you're playing basketball, and it don't matter if you've got the ball, but if you're out of bounds, hey, I can stand out of bounds and shoot and make the baskets all day long, but guess what? They don't count. Amen? If they did, a halftime, they'd never come out on the court. When the referee throw them the ball to take it out, they'd just take it from the out of bounds and just shoot it, try to make a few. Amen? So if we're going to play, we got to play in bounds. We got to play, praise God, where when we score, praise God, it's for God's glory. Or it'll count for something. Amen? Does that make sense? So that's the way life is. There's out of bounds in life, and when we're playing out of bounds, praise God, it don't count. But when we play in bounds, praise God, we play on Him, on God's court, praise God. When we make a shot and it goes in, it counts for God. Praise God. He said, then we're laying up treasures in glory. He said, where moth and rust doesn't corrupt. Praise God, where it count to our account. You say, Preacher, well, how do we do that? How does this happen? We stay in bounds, praise God, through the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God moves upon our heart. The Holy Spirit of God begins to remind us of the things of God. That's why it's important to listen when the Spirit speaks. Amen. Spirit of God is speaking. If you're a child of God, if you've been saved, the Holy Spirit of God ought to be speaking to you all the time. Hello? And we've got to be listening. Talking to a fellow preacher the other day. He said, I just don't understand. He said, I don't understand what's happening. I said, well, he said, I preached my heart out. It seems like the people are hearing me. Amen? He said, they're listening, but they're not hearing. Amen. You may have their attention, but it's just passing through. the good things of God. We gotta hold them things in there a minute, contemplate on them, meditate upon them, and see the good hand of God moving. And so we see how to do this, praise God. When we begin to trust the Lord and begin to, the Holy Spirit begins to remind us of where we're at, that's when we get that good counsel of the Spirit. Amen. A lot of times people, you go to get the counsel, you get counsel, you get all kinds of counsel in this world. Hello? You can get some really goofy counseling in this world. Amen. But good biblical counseling, praise God, it'll make all the difference. So the Holy Spirit, when He reminds us and He begins to counsel us, point us in the right direction, and when we take the counsel of God, the Holy Spirit, it begins to empower us to go in the right direction. Amen. It's like getting the fuel for your car. Now, me and Mia was talking today. We was riding around, but wasn't it, talking about these electric cars. And they said they had out there one of them places where they're having the elections, having a caucus, and it was 20 below zero. And people was trying to get to where they went in their electric car, and it took so much power for the heater that they didn't have power to run the car. Amen. I'm afraid if we ain't careful, we're that same way today in our Christian faith. Praise God, we've got the power to stir us sometimes in emotional things, but we don't have enough power to run the car. Amen. To get us where God would have us to be and help us do what God would have us to do. Praise the Lord. But God gives us power. He empowers us, praise God. Amen. And He gives us the power to stay on His path, to stay inside the boundaries that God set for us, that wouldn't deviate from that. So what is our part? Our part is to expect God. What do we expect of God? What do we expect of the Lord? You and me. Do you have any expectations for God? You say, well, preacher, I'm just a lowly somebody. I know we said that in the beginning. But we need to have expectations for God. We need to expect God to do what He says, to take us, help us, to sanctify us, to keep us by His might. Verse number 8, Leviticus 20, He says this, "And ye shall keep My statutes and do them." Now watch this. "I am the Lord which sanctify you." The Lord says, set yourself aside. I'm the Lord. Amen? Amen? And then He says, He said, keep My statutes. He said, stay inside the boundaries. Praise God. He says, stay inside the boundaries and do them. And said, I am the Lord. Now watch this, which sanctifies you. He said, I set you aside. And I set you aside for My glory. I set you aside so that I can help you. I set you aside so I can bring you unto Myself. I set you aside so I can make you more like Me. So we're compatible. Amen. That's all God wants, is us to be compatible. So we set a higher expectation for the Lord. What is our part? To just say, yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord, here am I, Lord. Take me, use me, Lord. And then just follow, praise God, the way He leads. Follow in the path, praise God, that He wants to take us. Amen. In the boundaries that He set. Can't run out. You can't run. You can't score outside of, out of bounds. We got to stay in bounds. Amen. You young people, remember this. Stay in bounds. Praise God. Stay in bounds. Stay where God have you to be. Amen. The boundaries of holiness. Holy, like Lord, be ye holy, for I am holy. You say, well, Pastor, does it really matter? It matters. Amen. It's a matter of life and death. Hello? It really matters. Our boundaries matter. Holiness matters. Praise God. We got to ask the Lord to show us the way. We got to allow the Lord to lead us in the right direction. Why? Because that's what He says. Look at Hebrews chapter number 12. You said, does it really matter? Hebrews chapter number 12, He says this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. He says, follow peace with all men. Are you there? I want you to get there. I want you to see this. Hebrews chapter number 12. If you got an old Schofield, it's 1303. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 14. He says, follow peace with all men and what? Holiness. That's holy living. Amen. That's sanctification unto the Lord. Now look at these next few words. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Is it important? Amen. What do we expect from God? Do we expect God to help us to be what He'd have us to be? Because He said we need it. We need to know our boundaries. To follow peace with all men and holiness. Following the path of holiness. Amen. A holiness, a boundaries of holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. See, it's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Amen. He said, keep my statutes and my judgments. Amen. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. And he said, and I will sanctify you. So I'll help you to be that if you let me. Don't stiff arm God. Don't stiff arm God. Don't hold Him back, praise God. Let Him draw nigh to us. Draw nigh to Him so that He can draw nigh to us. And then let Him love us. Let Him help us. That's what it's about, letting the Lord help. What do we expect? What do you expect from the Lord? You expect the Lord to be on your side? You expect the Lord to help you? You expect the Lord to sanctify you? To set you aside? Amen? Hey, you only do that if something's special. Amen? You take it out, you separate it because it's special. And He separates it unto Himself. Amen? Even for God's glory. What do you expect from the Lord today? So, preacher, I never have really thought about it. We ought to think about it. We ought to think about what we expect from the Lord. I know what He expects of me. He says He expects me to be holy, to sanctify myself, set myself aside for His glory, that I might be found pleasing to Him. Listen, young, it don't matter what the world thinks of you. They're going to think it one way or another anyway. Newsflash, I mean, that's just the way it is. But what does God think about us? That's what's going to matter. What does the Lord think about you and I? Amen. When this thing's all said and done, what does the Lord think about your life? In all manner of conversation, holy, in all manner of conversation, the way you live your life, do we live it holy unto the Lord? Are we ready if the Lord come today? And listen to me, because we're getting close. This thing's just, it's escalating every day. And I'm not trying to scare you. Amen. I'm just trying to get you excited. I'm excited about what's taking place. I'm excited about what's happening. Because that means one day in a little while, I'm going to get to see my Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to get to be with Him where He is. That was His desire. That was His ask of the Father. That those who love Him receive, that we would be with Him where He's at. One of these days, I'm going to be with Him forever. Amen. But what do we expect from Him today? What do we expect from the Lord? We expect Him to help us. We expect Him to sanctify us. We expect Him to help us to be set aside, to set ourselves aside for His glory. He'll do that if we want it, if we want Him to, if we expect Him to. Amen. I've got higher expectations. Hey, I've got a whole lot more faith in Him than I do in me. See, man, right there. I can't put much faith in me. I let me down every day. Amen. But He don't ever let me down. And when I put my expectation in Him, my faith in Him, my hope in Him. See, that's what hope is. Hope is faith with an expectation of something better. Amen. I've got an expectation of something better in just a little while in Jesus my Savior. So what do I expect from Him? I expect Him, praise God, to help me, to touch me, to sanctify me, to get me ready for His glorious appearing when I'll be with Him. Amen. What is your expectation of the Lord? What is the expectation for yourself? Amen. You ought to be just a little bit better every day for God's glory. Amen.